Thanks, Roland.
Suffering church, big subject, you know. I don't know where to start, actually, trying to talk about that in a short time, the suffering church, because there's so much suffering among Christians in the world, and it's impossible to do justice to it in about 15 minutes or so. But it's a real, real thing, nonetheless, persecution among Christians in many countries in the world. Open Doors every year publishes a book, a list called the, the World Watch List. The top 50 countries where there's persecution, starting with the worst. And every year they have a presentation in Parliament to invite MPs to come. And last January, 106 MPs attended the launch of their 2025 Open Doors World Watch Prayer List. There's another one coming up in this January, written to our local MP to invite her to go to this presentation. And so they explain then all the countries in the world where there's persecution. But I've got a short film to show you now about the World Watch List 2025. That's the one published last January.
Jesus said, "On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses. When they arrest you, do not worry about what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Persecution is as real for the church today as it was for Jesus' first followers. Every day, millions of Christians pay the price of witnessing for Christ. And these are the top 10 countries where faith costs the most. Number 10, Afghanistan. With the Taliban checking people's phones for Bible apps and Christian messages, believers risk arrest, interrogation, and even death. At number 9, Iran. Seeming hosted a secret house church, until one day police raided her home and arrested her. She had to flee the country to protect her family. Pakistan is at number 8. Christians live in fear of lies and mob violence. Nazar, a 73-year-old Christian, was falsely accused of blasphemy. His home and business were destroyed. Brutally beaten, he died of his injuries. Number 7, Nigeria. According to Open Doors research, more Christians are killed for their faith in Nigeria than in all the other countries of the world combined. Attack survivors run for their lives. Millions are displaced, enduring desperate conditions, unable to return home. Number 6, Eritrea. Christian leader Paulus knows he could be arrested at any moment. Eritrean prisons are notoriously brutal, and many Christians do not survive. Sudan is at number 5. In this war-torn country, more than 100 churches have been attacked, and believers have been abducted and killed. Christians who are displaced often face discrimination when aid is given out. At number 4 is Libya. In Libya, converting to Christianity can cost you your life. Anyone leaving Islam risks violent pressure from their families and communities to renounce their new faith. Christians are kidnapped and even killed. Yemen is number 3 on the list. There are only a few brave Yemeni Christians. Zara used to work alongside another believer to disciple secret Christians until he was murdered by extremists. But despite death threats, she carries on. Number 2, Somalia. All Somalis are expected to be Muslims. Step away from that path and you pay a high price. Christian converts are violently targeted by community, the authorities, and jihadists. And number 1, North Korea. Still the most dangerous country in which to be a Christian. Have you escaped this prison nation and found freedom in Christ? Do you men made an incredibly brave decision? She would return to North Korea and share her newfound faith. If she's discovered, she could be sent to a labor camp or even killed on the spot. More than 380 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. That's 1 in 7 believers worldwide. Each day, They bear witness to the light and life that is found in Jesus Christ. But the risks are great, and the price is high. For 70 years, Open Doors has supported our persecuted church family with personal aid, Bibles, training, and long-term care. Your prayers, your gifts, your voice can bring hope to believers in places where witnessing to Christ costs everything. Discover more at opendoorsuk.org.
Here we are meeting freely and openly. No police, secret police coming along. And we tend to forget what Christian brothers and sisters are tolerating in other parts of the world, don't we? It's quite sad, isn't it? More than sad. So we should cherish our freedom, shouldn't we? So there's the map, the World Watch prayer list. The darker colours are the most severe persecution, as you see. So it's a whole swath, isn't it, right through Africa, right through to Asia, and a little bit in Central America, where the persecution is the worst. Interestingly, Russia used to be on the top list. It's not anymore. Things aren't good in Russia, but they're just not in that top 50. But there you have it, the picture of Christian persecution throughout the world. As I said, it's impossible to do justice to it in one meeting. Just got a few examples to show you today. Now, for many decades now, the shadow of Islam has been spreading across Africa, bringing terrible persecution to many Christians. It used to be more in the north. It's now spreading to sub-Saharan Africa now, the influence of Islam, radical Islam, and it's putting Christians under great pressure. The Islamic State issued a message this last August to Africa: either convert to Islam, accept Islam as your conqueror, or submit to death. That's the ultimatum the Islamic State gave to African Christians. Now, Nigeria was one of the worst, as we saw. And last April, at least 100 Christians were killed in Plateau State. In June, 200 Christians killed in one day, and 6,500 displaced in one day. And this just 14th of October, 13 Christians killed in Nigeria. And Christians are appealing to the government of Nigeria to take action, because the government doesn't seem to be doing much about it. And so you see there are Christians on a march, appealing for help and protection. But Islam is the threat there, as these Islamic militant groups are attacking Christians whenever they can. Nigeria is still, as you saw in that quiz we did, it's a very Christian country, really. The church is growing the fastest in the world there. In spite of this persecution, the church is growing fastest of any other country. This persecution does not deter Christians. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC for short, Islamic State are busy. Since last Christmas, they claim to have killed 620 so-called infidel Christians in DRC. There you see a picture of Christians burying some of the dead who were killed by Islamic State. And you see an Islamic State propaganda video there showing the burning of Christian homes in May this year, boasting about it and their video. So DRC is a very dangerous place for Christians. Now, Mozambique has been in this news for a while. So remember Chris Hembro coming here, working in Mozambique. Now, the Islamists have started infiltrating from the north of the country of Mozambique. Incursions have come into the north of the area, and they've started to spread. At least 20 believers were killed by militants in Mozambique, in a Christian-majority village. 1,300 homes and two churches destroyed. 2,000 believers displaced. So Mozambique's coming under attack now. You see a picture there of a village that's been destroyed by the Islamists. It's a very, very sad situation, isn't it? And very worrying, really. And the Eritrea was mentioned in that list, wasn't it? Pastor Haile Nyizigi is one of three Eritrean Christian leaders who've been in jail for 20 years. At least 500 Christians are being held in prisons in Eritrea, many in very harsh conditions. In fact, they imprison them in that sort of thing. They imprison them in shipping containers. When the weather's very hot, it's unbearable. No sanitary conditions, just locked in there. That's Eritrea, a very, very harsh government. Christians are still being faithful despite this persecution. You might not think of India as being a Christian persecuting country, would you? But in 12 states have passed anti-conversion laws, which means anyone who tries to persuade someone to be a Christian can be arrested, even having a prayer meeting. So in 12 states, these laws have been passed in India. Jail terms range from 3 years to life imprisonment. So India's a troubled country too. There are lots of Christians in India, but in some parts of India, persecution is harsh from Hindu extremists. The North Korea was mentioned, of course, as number one on the list. Meeting for worship, reading the Bible is illegal, can result in torture and even execution. More than 70,000 Christians are now in prison in North Korea. Now, sadly, if they manage to escape to China, China sends them back very often to North Korea again. Of course, things are even worse than being sent back. So, persecution is happening. And lots of other countries I could mention, of course, if you want to find out more. I've got some Barnabas Fund magazines I can go out to you. And I said there's that 50, top 50 countries. Despite all this, the churches continue to grow. Even in these countries where there's persecution, the churches are growing. It doesn't deter people. One of the church fathers, Tertullian, said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." In other words, when Christians get killed, churches grow. The reason is because Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overpower it." That's why the church can't die. That's why persecution doesn't stop the church growing, because Jesus is building the church. And his church will not die, cannot die. So that's a picture of the persecution. But a few practical projects that are being done by these charities, Open Doors and Barnabas. A short video now about the Barnabas Aid Food Gives Project. Some of you have been kindly bringing food here, bringing dried food, and we're building up a store. This is sent abroad to help Christians who don't receive enough food. Thanks to those who are bringing it regularly, the Food Gives. Just a short video about Food Gives.
Christians are not the only acting few, but the Christian is just a lack if there is anything left over. Because our Lord said, if you need to all the least to be, why there is no need to believe. So in helping the needy and the poor, we are doing it for the Lord's sake, and God's all people to know his love.
I
thank
you for your last prayers, and I know it is good for prayer. And we are asking you for help. And I know the Lord does things in our lives without anybody's help, and he usually works through his people. And that's why.
From fleeing refugees in Ukraine to suffering Christians in Germany, Doc Gives has already supplied over 500 tons of aid to various parts of the world. This is Hannah from Doc Gives. She has been greatly encouraged by all of the donations she has received at the warehouse.
In some people's houses, I haven't got much. I think our response to those people would be, hey, listen, give what you can, because as you can see behind me, you're giving, it adds up. If somebody else does the same thing, somebody from Mexico or another church gives just a little amount, and when you start adding those together, you suddenly end up with 12 baskets left over.
We would like to thank our generous support. who have made all this possible and shown great love towards our brothers and sisters. If you're able, please consider donating so we can continue to provide for and help Christians in need.
And there's a box at the back where you can bring your gifts of dried foods, and we can then get them collected and they can be sent off to help people. There's some things that Open Doors are doing. Last year, Open Doors distributed more than 2.5 million Bibles and books worldwide. So many of the Christians in other countries lack the resources we have. We have our hymn books, our Bibles, lots of literature. Some countries don't have this. And so Open Doors is helping to provide. Also, training too. Last year, they trained 5.7 million persecuted Christians, including leadership, discipleship courses, trauma care, and persecution survival seminars. All practical help that's being given to help our brothers and sisters across the world. Why is there persecution then? Well, one reason is because of sin. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And John 3, this is the judgment. Light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. People prefer the darkness. They don't want the light of Jesus. And Paul wrote St. Timothy, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That reading we had just now from Acts. Peter and John arrested for preaching about Jesus. And what was their defense? We can't stop talking about it. We know the truth about Jesus, the resurrection. We can't stop talking about it. And they couldn't shut them up. And that's the same with Christians in these countries. Despite the persecution, they will not stop worshiping and praying and telling others about their faith. It's so important to them. So important to them. But Jesus had this to say, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. There was a missionary called Jim Elliot back in the 50s. And he wanted to go and reach some unreached Indians in Ecuador, a tribe of Indians who were very violent, cannibalistic. They never had any contact with outsiders. And he and four colleagues went there to contact these Indians and take the gospel to them. What Jim Elliot said before he went was this. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Let's repeat that. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Now, Jim Elliot lost his life. In fact, he and four other missionaries lost their lives. They flew a plane around and dropped some gifts of food to the people. And they landed and made contact with them and were quite friendly. And then all of a sudden they were attacked. All five were killed by these Indians, these Orca Indians. But you know, that wasn't the end of the story. Because Jim Elliot's wife, 2 years later, Elizabeth Elliot, went out there with other missionaries and met this same tribe. And eventually, many of these tribesmen became Christians, including the people who killed Jim Elliot and his colleagues, became Christians. And the whole tribe changed from their cannibalistic ways. They stopped their violence. They became peaceful and loving. So Jim Elliot's sacrifice wasn't in vain. He gave his life. The other four did as well. His wife bravely went back. She could have said, I'm not going back there anymore. They killed my husband. But no, she went back. And now there's a thriving Christian community amongst those Indians. So the sacrifice was worth it. Now, if we ever think it's tough being a Christian, let's heed these words from Hebrews. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Whatever happens to us, we won't have to suffer what Jesus did. So whatever the cost of following him, it will be worth it in the end. Paul put it like this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So there's a crown of righteousness. All these Christians being persecuted in the world, they've got a reward to come, a crown of righteousness, which all believers will receive when we get to heaven. Now, we may think it's easy for us here in this country. Are we prepared to stand up for what we believe in our secular, skeptical society? Sometimes there's lots of things happening that we don't like. Are we prepared to keep quiet or to speak out and say, that's not right? That shouldn't happen. Are we that faithful? Remember what Jesus went through? He went through the cross and resurrection. That's why it's worth it, because he rose from the dead. That's why his kingdom will never fail. That's why the church won't die, because Jesus is alive. He's building the church. The church cannot die. And so it's worth continuing our witness, however hard it may be. Leave you one question, can I? If you were arrested being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Think about that. And as we pray, let's keep this verse in mind from Hebrews. Remember those in prison, as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who were ill-treated, as if you yourselves were suffering. So let's pray.